You know, I've noticed something recently. I'm not the only person who's noticed it, but I noticed that we as a people, kind of as a culture, have kind of tried to get rid of losing. Have you noticed that? We don't like to lose anymore. I have two little kids, and I've kind of been around kids and stuff, and I've seen it most in kids, but we don't like to lose. All right, maybe you have kids who play in sports leagues that don't keep score. Right? You ever had those? What's the point? Really? What's the point? Or maybe your kid goes to a school, this is my favorite, where they don't have failing grades. I'm not making that up. Ever heard of that? There are schools now where they don't fail people. You just don't show up, and you graduate. And when I was in Texas, like, you know, I spent 5 years in Texas. I actually coached in a basketball league that didn't keep score. It wasn't really coaching. It was like babysitting, really. Like, you couldn't even set your roster. You just had a rotation of who went in and who went out. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm you know, this isn't in the Bible, so it's okay. I'll admit that I might be wrong. But I don't think it's a good idea to be teaching our kids this. I don't think it's a good idea to be teaching our kids that they'll never lose. Because, they will. They'll lose. All right? We all do. It's the real world. All right? People lose. Now, we don't like to lose. You know, I like to, if I have a choice between winning and losing, 100% of the time, I'm going to choose win. All right? I would rather win, and if you disagree with that, you're a liar. We like to win. You all like to win, and it's gotten to the point where even though we're teaching our kids this one thing, we are doing everything in our power to be the exact opposite, to never lose. All right, guys, I'm going to apologize right now to the men in the room, because I'm going to sell us out right now. Okay, I do that from time to time. You should have been here when I talked about sex. Wow, I really sold us out. Ladies, your husbands or your boyfriends or moms, your sons are competing every day. It's a sickness. We do it. For the drivers in the room, if you have a vehicle, if you're a man and you have a car, you know what I'm talking about. Most of our competitions take place in the car, right? And don't act like it's not you. All right? You're at the stoplight. Dude pulls up beside you at the stoplight. He's not paying attention. He's over there listening to the radio, and he's like jamming to his music, but you are. The second that thing hits green, you want to get off the block first, right? And maybe there's a stoplight about half a mile ahead. You're going to beat him in that stoplight. Even if you have to accelerate, and then right at the very end, you're going to beat him. All right? Or, come on, some of you are not, by your silence, I can tell you're embarrassed, but we don't do that here. Come on, break the tension. It's okay. It's okay. All right? Okay, guys, here's one that I know you do. Not that any of us ever eat fast food, but when you go to fast food, when you go to McDonald's or Arby's or wherever you go, and you pull in the driveway, or maybe you're about to pull in, and you see a car coming the other way with their blinker on, because you know they're turning in there too, right? What do? You accelerate as fast as you can to make sure you beat that guy to the window. Oh, you got, I don't believe you. Come on. You know you do it. Or let's say you've decided to become the super duper husband, or maybe this is just me. I may be selling myself out. And you actually go to the grocery store, which I never do. But occasionally I will, because I love my wife and she needs help. And so I'll go to the grocery store and I have like five things. And out of the corner of my eye, I see that person. It's usually an older lady, usually, with like maybe two buggies full, you know, just pushing. And what should I do? You know, being a pastor and all, I should help her. Come on, ma'am, come on. But what do I do? No, I don't do that. I run as fast as I can, and I like, you know, do some juke moves and kind of slide in and look at her and go, sucker, and I buy my stuff, right? Because we like to win. We like the thrill of competition. And ladies, before you think I'm going to let you off the hook, you do it too. You just compete in different ways. All right? You just compete in different ways. Who has the cleanest house? who has the nicest house. Maybe if you're dating, who has the cutest boyfriend? Or who gave me the best gift at Christmas? You know, you sit together and you compare and you try to one-up each other. And if you have kids, it's a ball game. Who's got the smartest kids, right? If somebody tells you something, their kid did it too, you got to come back with, well, at one, my kid was playing the violin. It's a lie, but who cares? You won, right? All right, it's in us, all right? It's a natural part of who we are to compete, to be in conflict, to want to win. And because of that, sometimes the conflicts go to the next level. And sometimes they go to the level after that, to where you no longer, as two people who are selfish and want to win, can resolve the conflict. So you have to go to somebody else. You have to go to an impartial third party. Maybe it's a friend of both of you. Maybe it's a roommate. I don't know. But you have to go to them. You lay the case and you let them help you settle the conflict. Or maybe it's even bigger than that and you actually have to go to the court system and you have to sue somebody to settle the conflict because you ain't losing. Or when it is of deathly importance, it's just like the most important thing ever, what do? We're Americans. We know what we do. You go on Jerry Springer. Right? Springer is where you solve all your life's problems. Yikes. I hope not. But here's how bad it's gotten. Here's how bad all these conflicts have gotten. Companies now. How many of you actually work how many of you actually, by applause because I can't see your hands, applaud if you actually work at a company with like more than 15 employees or something like that? Wow, not a lot of you. Do you need jobs? Can I help you? No, I'm just kidding. You'll just have to take my word for it then. Or maybe you've experienced this. But what companies do now is they actually bring in people called conflict resolution specialists whose job is to hang out at your office and settle those crazy disputes that you and your coworkers have. And what they do, you know, is they practice different techniques of mediation and negotiation to try to wade through the conflict. And they get paid very, very well to do this. They get paid very well. Here's the kicker. Here's the point. Here's where I'm going. They figured out, this is why I think they make so much money. They figured out human nature. All right? They know that we hate to lose. All right? They know we don't like that. So here's what they've done. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But here's what they've done. They've created, and I don't know if they created it, but whatever, just go with me, a win-win situation. Can we just meditate a moment on the dumbness of that? A win-win situation. But it's just like little kids. Hooray! No losers in the office. Everybody's a big winner. You know, you win, I win. It's a win-win. Yeah, let's be honest. I was wrong. I was rude to. No, win win, no wrong wrong, win win. We all win. Isn't that awesome? It's like little 6-year-olds playing soccer. We're all winners. But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I understand. I'm not mocking compromise. I'm not mocking negotiation. I'm not mocking the need to make 6-year-olds feel good about themselves in sports. I guess. I'm kind of still mocking that. I think, yeah. If you're not good at sports, you're not good. But here's the deal. Here's the serious point. I'm afraid that some of us, most of us, a lot of us, all of us, have bought into this idea of there's no losers. We've bought into the idea that no one is ever wrong. And someone else is actually right. You know, we've bought into this whole, no, it's a win-win. I understand where you're coming from. You understand where I'm coming from. But the problem is, when you look at history, and you look at real life, that doesn't happen. Every real conflict that's ever existed ends with a winner and a loser. All great conflicts in history, winner, loser. One side wins, the other side actually gives up. they surrender. If you want to think about, just take the United States, for example. All right? Just this United States as a country. All right, three major conflicts we've had. The first one was the Revolutionary War. All right? It ended when General Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown. October 19th, 1781. He didn't win-win. He surrendered. He said, I quit. I give up. Civil War ended when General Lee surrendered to General Grant at Appomattox, April 9th, 1865. He said, I quit. I give up. World War II ended when the Japanese surrendered on the battleship Missouri, September 2nd, 1945. They said, I surrender. I quit. I give up. Now, note, some of you are thinking I've lost my mind right now because you're thinking I'm equating World War II with six-year-olds playing soccer. I'm not. I'm not that crazy. I understand that. I understand that World War II isn't the same as fighting over who gets the good chair in the office. All right? I understand it's not the same. But I just need you to trust me, and I want you to go with me for a minute. I want you to hold that thought. Because there is a conflict going on today that we are all a part of, that we were born into, and we have absolutely no way of ending it. And until we understand that conflict, we can't move forward. This series resolution. This series is about New Year's resolutions and why we make them and why they never work. Well, today what we're looking at is we need a resolution. We need to resolve this conflict that we've all been in. We've been in our entire lives. And I'm gonna get ahead of myself, so let me kind of start back. Let me explain what that means. All right, this conflict that we've been in, this conflict that we were born into, we had no say over it. We didn't ask to be born into it, but we are. And it started before recorded history, all right? Way back even before Adam and Eve, when there was this God and his angels. There was this guy. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. We call him Lucifer. But you may not know this. He was actually an angel. He was on God's side. He was in heaven, hanging out. But then something happened with Lucifer. Lucifer thought that he was smarter than God. He thought he could actually become God. So he staged a rebellion. He staged a coup. Angels helped him. Some people say it was a third of the angels. That's probably, at best, that's a guess. We don't really know how many. But a portion of angels helped him attempt to overthrow God, which is just ridiculous, but he's the devil. Didn't work, obviously, because God's God. And so he cast him out. And he cast people who helped him out of heaven. And that's where we get, you've heard of devils, you've heard of demons. That's where they come from. And when he cast them out, they immediately went to war against God, trying with everything they had, with all their power, all their strength, to thwart everything that God God wants it this way, they want it that way. And that's where we come in. Because their very first step was to enlist more troops. Their very first step was to draw us in to the rebellion. Maybe you've heard the story, maybe you haven't. Adam and Eve in the garden. The quick version is, God had said, here's 1,000 yeses. Here's 1,000 things you can do. Here's 1,000 trees you can eat from. Here's 1,000 decisions you can make that'll please me. Here's 1,000 things that are within your grasp, and I love you and you're blessed. And oh, by the way, here's one thing, just one, that you can't do. 1,000 yeses, one no. But Satan and his demons were in conflict with God. God created humans to have a relationship with us. That was his plan. So what does Satan want to do? Let's thwart it. So he lies to Eve. confuses her, tricks her, distorts scripture like he always does, distorts God's word. Long story short, Adam and Eve both choose to disobey God. They go their own way. What they didn't realize at the time is when they did that, they switched teams. They switched sides. They went from God's side to Satan's side, to being at war with God. Now, they didn't know that. All they knew is they didn't believe God. They didn't quite trust him quite enough. They thought they were smarter. They thought they had figured it out. But by doing that, they changed teams. And since then, humanity has been on Satan's side. Scripture is very clear. When we're born, you may have heard the phrase, we're born in sin. All right? Very basically what that means is we don't have a choice. We're slaves to ourself. We're slaves to selfishness. We're slaves to wanting to do what we want to do when we want to do it, no matter what anybody else says. And by being slaves to that, we lined up perfectly with Satan in direct conflict with the creator of the universe. I know what you're saying, man. This is great news you're giving me today. I know. But it's not the end. But so now, you, I, all of us, we live in this world. All right, we're born, and we're born into this deal of joining Satan and his demons, unfortunately. Yeah. And doing our best to thwart God's plan, will, and design for earth and all of us in it. All right, let me show you how Paul describes this in Ephesians 2. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up. Ephesians 2 is where we're going to be, just the first two verses. And this is how Paul describes us. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You were dead. Oh, sorry, side note. That's the other thing. When we're slaves to Satan, we're dead. I'll get to that in a minute, but we have a death penalty on us. Dead man walking is what we are. See, Paul's actually writing to people who are Christ followers. He's reminding them what they used to be. But I'm using this in present tense because I know a lot of people in the room today are still over here. My prayer is that we get you over here. But let's keep going. All right. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. Live in sin so much you didn't even realize it. Just like the rest of the world, listen to this, obeying the devil. Because he's the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Obeying the devil. I don't care who you are, people don't like the devil. He's the devil. But that's what we're born into. We're born into obeying him. We're born into being his servant, his slave, doing exactly what he wants in accordance with him against God. This is how it describes the devil. That he says, he is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. So there it is. That's our state. That's what we're born into. That's the conflict that exists. Now, see, we were created for perfect union with God. We were created to hang with God, to be perfectly united with him, and to live the life he designed. But we fell. When we're born into it. And so that's the conflict. That's where we are. And I'm here to tell you today, whether you know it or not, man, we need a resolution. We got to have one. We need an end to this conflict. And for pretty much all of recorded history, most people have grasped that concept. Most people understand, yeah, there's got to be something up there that's more powerful than me. There's got to be something to be done to bridge the gap between up there and here. So what do we do? Well, it's like I said at the beginning. We hate to lose. We hate to say we're wrong. We hate for someone else to be right. We hate to have to change. We hate to have to admit, oh, no, 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 maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I'm incorrect. Maybe I can't fix it myself. We hate to admit that. So, for most of human history, what's happened is we as humans, because we're so smart, have created these things called religions. All right? We've created these things called religions. And basically what I mean by a religion is we give ourselves a list of things to do to make God like us, to make us happy again, to make me be cool with God. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We're pretending like we're conflict resolution specialists. All right? We sit down with God, and we think we can have a win-win situation. We think we can dictate terms to God. Here's how it sounds. For a lot of people who are doing this religion side of trying to get back to God, this is what it sounds like. Okay, God, glad you came today. Glad you could make it. This is my attorney. What's his name? That's not important. God, here's what I'm going to put on the table today. Okay, here's what I'm going to put on the table. I'm willing to do these three things. A moderate amount of time, but I'm willing to do these three things. If in return, you'll do this, this, and this. Do you have a counteroffer? I can live with that. I can live with that. Okay. That's a win-win, God. That's a win-win situation. Here's what we decided. I'm going to go to church once a month. No more, no less. Make sure I'm there once a month. I am going to occasionally give $5 to a homeless person on the street. Hey, I'm going to donate some money to Haiti. That's all I got to do. And in return, God, you're going to leave me alone. You're going to let me do what I want. But when I need you, when somebody's sick, when something bad happens, I'm going to pray to you, you're going to help. And I know I'm going to get to heaven because, come on, I'm a good person, right? So thank you, God. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Have a good day. Win-win. Win-win. All right? We're good. All right? And now it's even gotten broader than that into the win-win. Now the floodgates have come open. All right? Now you have phrases like, all different paths lead to the same God. There can't just be one way. This has got to be a win-win. I need a win-win solution here, God. I need a win-win. I experience spirituality in my own way. Do you hear that? If you say that, I'm not trying to make fun of you. But listen to what you're saying. I experience God, the creator of the universe, in my own way. I'm going to experience God God's way. But again, getting ahead of myself. But I'm terrified, guys. I'm so afraid that we walk through life trying to have a win-win situation with God, trying to negotiate with Him, trying to barter. All right, God, if I do these five things, then you'll be happy with me, and then we'll be good. But I don't want to do more than that, but those five things. But here's the problem with that. I know the end of the story. I know how it plays out. If we're on this team, if we're where we were born in, if we're negotiating with God, if we're trying to do a win-win, I say this with all the love and compassion in my heart, we lose. I mean lose. I mean eternity spent separated from God in a place called hell. Lose. There is no win-win. There is no negotiation. We lose. And those aren't my terms. They're God's. He set them. You know why? Because in the real world, the winner sets the terms. And God's the winner. He's the winner. Because whether you know it or not, the battle's over. We've already lost. He's already won. So you have one choice. Honestly, you have one choice if you truly desire to end the conflict you were born into. If you truly desire reconciliation with that force, that entity, whatever you want to call it, but that thing you've always kind of felt like was there and always wanted to know more of, but you always wanted it on your own terms. There's one solution and one solution only. It's the way every conflict in history gets ended. Complete and total surrender. That's your only choice. Complete surrender. Let me read something else Paul says. Romans 10:9. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now let's parse that. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That means surrender. That means throw your hands up in the air. That means saying to him, Jesus Christ, I get it. You're God. I'm not. You're the boss. I'm not. Your way, not mine. I give up. No negotiation, no terms, no win-win. Complete and total surrender. Because see, these religions that we've been following, that we've created in our own mind, these rules that we've set up, if we follow X, Y, and Z, then God's going to be happy with me. It's like that? Never know what you're going to get here. Doesn't work. But see, that's the difference between Jesus. Jesus doesn't offer rules. Jesus doesn't offer religion. He doesn't offer a list of things you have to do to make him happy. You have to do one thing and one thing only to make him happy. You know what it is? Surrender. Give up. Say, I can't do it. I'm sick of living this way. I want what you have, and I know it's better. So I confess with my mouth that you're Lord. And I believe everything the Bible says about you because I really don't have another choice. So I beg you today, I plead today to end this battle that you've been in, to surrender to the God of the universe, to surrender to the guy who's already won the battle. Because see, God's been working behind the scenes. When we fell in the garden, from that point forward, God started working. He started doing what it took to reconcile us to him. And a little over 2,000 years ago, God did some conflict resolution of his own. He sent himself to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Lived a perfect, sinless life. And then, at the age of 33, on a spring afternoon, a Friday actually, he was murdered by us, by this side. Because we were competing against God. And Satan honestly thought in that moment that he'd won. I did it. He came to earth and I had him killed. He thought he'd won. But what he didn't know and what God had planned from the beginning of time was that that moment, that death, that Jesus Christ, his death on that cross didn't thwart God's plan. It was God's plan. It was his plan to reconcile us, to bring us back. And here's why. It's because when we joined this team, we sinned and we had to be punished. We rebelled. And there's only one penalty for a rebel, and it's execution. We deserved death. according to God. Because we went against him, we sinned. He can't look at sin. The only thing he can do with sin is punish it. And we deserve to be punished. But because he loved us, because he wanted to be reconciled to us, because he wanted to be able to come back to him, he sent his son. And when his son died on that cross, what God did is God took every mistake I've ever made in my life, every mistake Paul's ever made in his life, every mistake any person in this room has ever made in their entire life, and he said, Jesus, you're punished for Trey's mistakes. He punished his son, who'd never done anything wrong, ever. But he punished him for me. He punished him for you. So that we could actually be forgiven for the mistakes we made, and we could get back from this side, from our conflict, to communion, to perfect communion with God. It's not over. He died Friday afternoon. Guess what happened Sunday morning? He woke up. He was dead. And then he wasn't. He beat death. And that's fantastic news for us, because it means not only can we be forgiven, not only can we have access to God, it also means because he beat death, that whole we were dead to our sin thing, that whole we can't help but sin thing, guess what? When we surrender to God, when we give up, when we say, God, it's your way, not mine, that whole death to sin thing, it's gone. Because Jesus beat death, so can we. And we can actually live the life we were created to live. We can actually love somebody else just because it might be good for them, and not because of something selfish we're going to get out of it. We can actually be patient and let the little lady go in front of you at the grocery store. That's what we're offered. That's what Jesus did to end this conflict. The greatest conflict you've ever been in, and you probably didn't even know. But so here's where we stand now. As we wrap up today, this is where we stand. Many of you today are still in conflict. You're still trying to have it your way. You're still trying to have it be a win-win. With all the love and compassion and sincerity in my heart, all I say is you are going to lose. It is not up for debate. It is not up for negotiation. There is no other side. There is no second opinion. You're living with a death sentence. But today, Jesus Christ is screaming to you, I love you. I paid the price for you. I defeated death for you. Stop fighting me. Give up. Surrender. And come home. Because when we surrender to God, we don't surrender and take our legs and take our punishment. We surrender and we're reconciled. We rejoin his team. We're back on God's side. And we spend the rest of our lives hoping and praying and doing everything possible to bring more people over from that side to this one. But that's another week. I want to ask you guys to go ahead and bow your heads. Close your eyes right now. And I'm going to make an offer right now to those in the room who are still in conflict. Jesus Christ is the resolution. He is the resolution. If you want that resolution today, if you want to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ today, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And it's not the prayer. Don't repeat, you know, don't fixate on the prayer. Talk to God. I'm just going to guide you in doing it. And as you repeat these words, I promise you, if you sincerely mean them in your heart and you pray them to God, your life will be transformed. You will be reconciled. You will have resolution to the greatest conflict in your life. So repeat after me in your heart if your desire today is to come home. Father, I know I've made mistakes. I've lived my life my own way. I know you have better. Father, forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for not trusting you and who you said you were. From this point forward, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender. I promise to try from this point forward to live the life you want, not what I want. I'm going to mess up, and I thank you in advance for your patience. I surrender, and I commit my life to you.